Amen.
Good singing. What a blessing to be here. I invite your attention to the book of Acts tonight. The book of Acts, chapter 13. Hudson Taylor said, "The Great Commission is not an option to be considered. It is a command to be obeyed." I got saved a little over 59 years ago. And I was introduced to missions soon after my conversion. And I began giving to missions in the early 60s. And God has blessed that. And through the years, it's been... The Lord never said that. That's too much. He always urges me to do more. And so I'm interested in missions. I thank God for it. Someone said the Great Commission should be our greatest concern. We ought to be willing to give the gospel to every creature. And so it is missions is vitally important because of the cross. I want to say this. I believe there's a lot of fundamental, independent, temperamental Baptists that's not very excited about the second coming of the Lord. And I believe the reason is they don't have the proper appreciation for the first coming. He who was rich became poor, that we through his poverty might be made rich. I want to tell you that God still loves the world, and he gave his son to die for every sinner. He wants it populated in heaven from every race and every tribe and every nation. And that's what it's all about, the matter. And we start at our Jerusalem. And so it's important because of the cross, but because of the command of the Lord and because of the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, I think when we have our affections right, we'll be laying up treasures in heaven. And when we have our allegiance right, we'll not be trying to serve two masters. And listen, when our ambition is right, we'll seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. I'm preaching tonight on missions. I get to do that occasionally, and I always thrill at the opportunity of watching folks get a hold of the basic principles of faith promise giving. Amen. I believe that's a tool that God's given to the church. Amen. Somebody said, "Well, I don't like the way y'all do it." Well, I like better the way we do it than the way you don't do it. Amen. Acts chapter 13. Notice what he said, verse 1. "Now, there were in the church that was at Antioch certain prophets and teachers, as Barnabas and Simeon, that was called Niger, and Lucius of Cyrene, and Manaen, which had been brought up with Herod the Tetrarch and Saul. And as they ministered to the Lord and fasted, the Holy Ghost said, 'Separate me, Barnabas and Saul, for the work whereunto I have called them.' And when they had fasted and prayed and laid their hands on them, they sent them away." And so I'm dealing particularly with this thought tonight. Mission, the mission of the church is missions. You said that's not deep, but it's right. The Lord didn't give us a church just to grace the hillside or the side of the road. We got a mission to take the gospel to every creature. Would you bow with us for prayer and ask God to speak to our heart? Heavenly Father, bless, I pray, your word to our heart. I pray that you might give liberty. You said, "Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty." And so I pray that you would use us tonight, and may this be profitable time. Thank you for every missionary, every pastor, every church worker. Dear Lord, thank you for the privilege of being a co-laborer with the Lord. Have thy will and way in the service, we ask in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. I believe God created the heavens and the earth. I'm not interested in the Big Bang. Amen.
It was God who created the heavens and the earth. Amen. And God created man in His likeness, and He breathed into man's nostrils the breath of life. I don't believe man is descended from a tadpole or a monkey. Although there's been some that made me suspicious on that department. But we know that God created man in His own likeness, and in His own likeness created He them. Now understand, since the creation, and God did that without the help of the Democrats or the Republicans. God created man. But since then, He has privileged you and me to be co-laborers together with Christ. Hallelujah, what a thought. I'm His child. I'm in His family. I'm a co-laborer. It's not me. It's Christ in me. Amen. I'm just, hallelujah. I'm the weakest vessel, but praise God for the greatest heritage I have. The gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ was deposited in me. Now, I want to say the main business of the church is missions. After you've been involved in missions for a while, there's a danger of kind of slipping into a maintenance mentality when you kind of focus on just maintaining what you have and forget about the loss. I'm telling you, Christ died for the sins of the whole wide world. And so the thought that folks think, well, the church is there for us. Could I remind you that you are the church? You and I are the church. And so when a church loses the spirit of the Great Commission, it surrenders its very reason for existence. And so I say God is a missionary God. And the Bible is a missionary book. And the church is a missionary institution. And when a church ceases to be missionary minded, it's betrayed its trust. And so the church has many responsibilities, but only one mission. Just one mission. That's the evangelization of the whole wide world. Now, a church that's not focused on the world is not founded on the Word. Y'all all right? I want to say, first of all, we have this illustration of the church down at Antioch. It's a local church. I'm a local church man. I believe Christ died for the church. He said, I'm going to build a church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. And by the way, it's not your church and not my church. It's His church, and He's still doing a good job of building His church. But what a wonderful privilege to be a co-laborer. Amen. And so I want to see with me, first of all, the local church is an incubator for missions. That's where it was birthed. That's where it was birthed in my heart, in a local church. I surrendered to the ministry in a mission conference in 1966. Paul Metzler had been in the Chad of Africa for 45 years, and I was praying, God, would you confirm in my heart your will? Amen. And by the way, that's vitally important in every department of your life, the will of God. I want to be attuned to the will of God, be abandoned to the Lord, and be available to the Lord's work. Amen. And so that night he preached out of Hebrews chapter 12, verse 1 through 3. And God rung my bell clear. I came down the aisle that night and spoke to Dr. Buffington about God's dealing in my life. He said, are you coming from rededication for dedication? I said, no, sir. I'm coming to give my all to the Lord. Sink or swim, survive or perish, I give Him my all. I want to say to you, that's been a few days ago. I have no regrets. I'm grateful to be where God put me. Amen. And so the local church missionaries are born in local churches. Now hear me clearly. I am not against mission boards. But I want to tell you, the mission board is to never, ever usurp authority over the local church. And we've got some that's going astray in that department. You're welcome. And so missionaries are born in the local church. The mission movement was done out of a local church. It was by that was based from a local church. It had the starting point at a local church. And if a church is going to be the incubator for missions, then missionaries, then we must receive, we must recognize the pleasure of God in saving people. Back in the early 60s, in my local church, there was a man named Jim Cooper. Jim Cooper had been to Tennessee Temple School, called to preach, went to Tennessee Temple Schools, came back home to Lakeland, started a church on the west side of Lakeland. And he said, I preached on missions one Sunday morning, and nobody responded but me. He said, I came forward and surrendered to missions that Sunday morning. God sent Jim Cooper to the South Caicos Islands, so barren that rabbits couldn't live there. His daddy offered him a business, a grocery business, said, son, if you'll just stay with me, I'm going to give you this business. He said, I've got to do what God has called me to do. He went to South Caicos and started a church, the Calvary Baptist Church in South Caicos. He won a man named Howard Mills to the Lord at South Caicos. He won a lot of them. Then he started a church down at Grand Turk. And then he started a church at Bottle Creek. But it all started that day when he said, I'm going to do what God called me to do. That was born in a local church. He started one in South Caicos, one in Grand Turk. He started one at Bottle Creek. And then he was instrumental and started another in another island. And he thought that God called me to the mission field. But it was Jim Cooper's call, not God. I did some praying for him. But then later on, he said, I believe it's the will of God for me to go to Nassau and start a church. I preached in that church early on. He started the Baptist Bible Church in Nassau, Bahamas. The last time I preached there, they had over 700 in attendance, over 1,500 in a Christian school. And by the way, it's still going strong today. Guess who's a pastor? That old boy named Howard Mills that got born again down at South Caicos. He's the pastor of Baptist Bible Church. Hey, in that church, there's a young man. Hey, later on, Jim said, I believe the Lord had me start another church across town from Baptist Bible. So he started the New Testament Baptist Church. Guess who's pastoring that? It was a young man named Dave Adams that was born again at the Baptist Bible Church. I'm saying missions begins. It's an incubator for missions, and you ought to keep it red hot. And this man is the key. The pastor is the key if he keeps it before the people. I'm saying God's not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repent. And we need more missionaries. And so I'm saying this, if a church is going to be an incubator for missions and missionaries, then we must recognize the pleasure of God in saving people from every tribe, every tongue, every people, and every nation. And it begins at our Jerusalem. And so in this church, in the church down at Antioch, there was a diversity in the composition of that church. Here is the true spirit of whosoever will in our own ranks. Listen carefully. There's a man named Barnabas, a well-to-do Levite from Cyprus. There's Simeon called Niger. His name means black, and so most scholars presume that he was a black man, but there was certainly no race distinctions there. Amen? The same gospel that saves the white man saves the black man. Amen. And any other colored man. And so then there was Lucius of Cyrene, an ancient city of North Africa. Manaen, he was brought up with Herod, the one who stole Herodias from her husband, which murdered John the Baptist. Then there was Saul of Tarsus. Here was a diversity to be for sure. Here was Jews and Gentiles, wealthy and common people, all chosen and all controlled by the Spirit of the living God. And could I say, God can work through all different types of people. You've got different backgrounds, different cultures, different identities, and God works through each one of them. Amen. And then notice with me again. I'm thinking about in the church that was down at Antioch. I'm not sure that it was a Baptist church. Y'all still in the building? Now, I am a Baptist. I'm not ashamed of being a Baptist. Somebody said, you think you had to be a Baptist to go to heaven? I said, oh no, but there's nothing wrong going first class. Notice verse 2, the Bible said, and as they ministered to the Lord, as they did what? As they ministered to the Lord and fasted, the Holy Ghost said, separate me, Barnabas and Saul, for the work whereunto I have called them. Right. And so here was five that were doing what? They're doing the will of God. Right. They're doing what? There's five that's doing what? They're ministering, they're fasting, and they're praying. They were spiritual and they were sincere. But it was in the church. Did you get that? It's in the church. That's where it all begins. While they're in the church doing what God told them to do there, the Holy Ghost said, wait just a minute. I've got an announcement to make. Separate me, Barnabas and Saul, for the work whereunto I have called them. I believe, listen, it was a specific call, a selective call, and if God didn't call you, you won't make it. And so, it was a local church incubator for missions. The Holy Spirit. Number two, the Holy Spirit was the initiator of missions. And by the way, I thought I'd tell you, if you're a pastor, if you're an evangelist, if you're a missionary, if you're blood bought, we're ambassadors for Christ. I wanted to preach on that tonight, being an ambassador for Christ. That is what a missionary is, and that's what you are too, amen. There's the merits of an ambassador is that he is in Christ, hallelujah. Notice this. The Holy Ghost issues a call to missionary. The Bible said the Holy Ghost said, separate me. It was not some impersonal force, but the person who is fully God and one who as God is the divine initiator. I'm grateful for you missionaries that stood and introduced yourself tonight about the different field, the place of service that you're going. I commend you for listening to the Holy Ghost. I'm saying to you, you'll find along the way, you'll find good people, well-meaning people that will try to discourage you and dampen your spirit. But it'd be well for you to listen to the Holy Ghost when He said, separate me, Barnabas and Saul, for the work whereunto I've called. And so, it's the Holy Spirit speaking. And again, He's selective in His calling. There was at least five, and He just chose two. He just called Barnabas and Saul. But now hold on a minute. Put it on pause just a minute. Don't you for a second think that those who were left in the church was less important to God than those that was called out. Amen. And so everybody is an ambassador for Christ. You're saved. You're an ambassador for Christ. And so it's selective call. It was distinctive call. It's not for everyone, but it was for Barnabas and Saul. And the call came while they were playing bingo. The call came while they were ministering, and it always works that way. The one that's involved already is the one that the Spirit of God. And so God looks for those who are servants. Servants. And God uses humble servants. Amen. And then it was a specific call. The Holy Ghost said, separate me. And He said, it's to the work which I have called them to do. It's not the work that a mission board representative thought you ought to do. And it's not the work that Grandma or Grandpa thought you ought to do. It's not the work that you thought. Hey, it's the work that God said. I want you to do that. It selected a specific call. The call was made before. Notice, the call was made before the announcement. Y'all all right? You're not allowed to choose your own field. Amen. Well, God has a specific work for you to do. And as a hallelujah to God. I marvel at the fact that I take no credit. I'm a nobody, but I'm saved by the grace of God. And God called me, and every once in a while God will pull back the curtain and let you see a little bit of what God did through you. And I say, bless His holy name. And so I said, we're not allowed to choose. Just as God did not call just anyone, He did not call them to go to do just anything. And God has a certain work in mind, and He calls them to do that work. So I scratch my head sometime, and I see men that they leave their family and their friends, and they go all across the world to do the will of God. And I say, praise His name. Praise the Lord. So they're going to be, next Christmas, they're going to be on a foreign field, and Mom and Dad's not coming over for Christmas dinner. And so they miss their families, and they miss their church. And while I'm passing by this, let me insert this while I'm passing by. There's folk that said, bless God, I'll tell you one thing, we're not going to support missionaries that don't correspond. Well, I think missionaries ought to correspond. But I want to ask you, when's the last time you corresponded with your missionary? Amen. We're tough on those about sending those prayer letters. But we're real delinquent on the matter of sending. Oh, you said we send them money every month. Well, that's different than getting a note from home. I don't want to kill the meeting, but I...
You're helping us, brother.
Notice this. Just as God did not call them to do just anything, or anyone to do anything, God has a certain work in mind, He called them to do it. That's New Testament mission. Now, and so, local church is the incubator. That's where it's born. And I appreciate you having this meeting with emphasis upon missions. Amen. And so the Great Commission should be our greatest concern of getting the gospel to every creature. I bless the memory of Brother Stennett Ballou. And I really don't know of any other man that I've been personally acquainted with that did more about challenging churches and teaching them the matter of the principles of mission giving. Local church incubator, Holy Spirit the initiator. The believer, that's you if you're saved. Believer in the church are the investors. We're co-laborers together. Paul said, I planted, Apollos watered. And then he says in verse 8, now he that planteth and he that watereth are one. And so he said, in God's arithmetic, one plus one is one. Our problem tonight is this. We're not willing to be a part of one. There's too many people who want to be number one. But you recognize this. We're co-laborers together. pastor and people. Listen, they're burdened of the Lord. They get the gospel around the world. Started years ago with Brother Hall, emphasizing the matter of getting the gospel to every creature. And so we're co-laborers together, and they pray. They find the mind of God and help support missionaries over there. And so the church is, along with God's enablement, is the supplier financially. And the missionary is dependent. He's relying upon that local church. But we are investors. That's why I challenge in mission meetings, I challenge everybody to get involved. I'm talking about the children and mom and dad and grandma and grandpa, and everybody get involved in doing something. Oh, I've heard the reports so many times. Well, you know, our church supports 50 missionaries. I said, wonderful. What are you doing? It's like that old boy said, we killed a bear, but Pa shot him. How are we doing on the mission side? I'm saying believers are the investors. We're putting Christ first. We're sending missionaries. And the church supplies, church supervised. And then the Great Commission is a call and a command to every believer. So every believer is to be part of the gospel being preached in all the nations of the world. That's going to include two things, and I'm going to stop because I didn't bring smelling salts with me. You'll dry up on this part. It involves a matter of you opening your purse, your billfold, your pocket to give. And so when they go yonder to wherever they are and they're ministering, and some soul gets saved, maybe some family gets repaired, they're put back together, and God keeps accurate records.
Yes, sir.
And he's marking down that this church had a part in what went on there. It's God who did the saving. It's God who established the church. It's God who called the missionary. But we are laborers together. We give. And they... It was Oswald Chambers who said the first time... No, Oswald J. Smith. He said the first time I heard about Faith Promise Mission Giving, said I was startled. And said they passed, this is a new church. And so they're passing out commitment cards. And he said, I'd never done that before. And so they're challenging us to put something on the card. And he said, I thought to myself, well, maybe $5. This is a yearly commitment now. Maybe $5. He said, I did that one time before. And so the moderator said, no, you pray and ask God. And you do what God tells you to do about the matter of giving. And so he said, I prayed. Said I was making $25 a week. Had a wife and a child. We wanted to buy a house. We only had $25. And so said, I was praying and said, the Holy Ghost said, $50. He said, $50? I only make $25. And he went over the story again. And he said, the Holy Spirit said, $50. And so he said he prayed that in. And by the way, you break that down for a year, that's less than $1 a year. And then he talked about how God blessed through the years and had increased, and he went from that to more and more and more. And when he resigned his church, there was giving over $300,000 to missions. He also was one who said, I'll never pastor a church that spends more money on the operation of the church than they do for foreign missions. Missions is the heart of God. And if your heart's right, you'll want to get in on it. And it starts at home. But let me give you a little bit of the last thought here. It involves a matter of not every person's called to go to a foreign mission field. But Oswald Smith, he said, I tried to go. And he did. He tried to go, and it didn't materialize. And so he said, well, if I can't go, I want to send a substitute. Well, hallelujah to God. Amen and amen. He said, if I can't go on to send a substitute. And so he talked about how he supported and how. And by the way, Only heaven will reveal what has happened by your faithful giving to the Lord, by being an instrument that God can channel through you to help others. First time I heard this statement was way back in the early 60s. Douglas Hines was in our pastor's study. We was on our knees praying out to God. He praying with his hands uplifted like that. And he said, Lord, we realize that you give more through us than you'll ever give to us. And our problem today is that W. Jack Hutchins said, someone asked him one time, said, and Dr. Hutchins said, is it all right to give to get? And that's the way some folks give. They give to get. They give to get. He said, well, I guess it'd be all right to give to get if you plan to give again. But if you're just planning to give to get, that's not honorable to the Lord. And so, person's got to be open. Yet every believer can be be partnering with those who are called by making contributions and enabling missionaries to go. And if you're not called to actually go to a foreign mission field, you still can give. So we give before we go, we give as we go, give after we go. And so I should challenge you this, and I'm stopping. Who's going to the mission field by your giving? I like to think of it this way. Our pastor, and by the way, there's some that's still operating on 1960s and 70s support levels. I inherited a church that had 90-something missionaries, and they was giving them a whopping $10 or $15 a month. I believe a missionary is worthy of support at all. He ought to at least be worthy of at least $50 a month. And by the way, it ought to be more than that. You welcome. Y'all all right? And so, who's going to the mission field? Because you gave. Is there some missionary on the field today because you as a church and you as an individual gave? Prayers have to be all offered. Open purses, offered prayers. So who's going to the mission field? By my giving or by my praying. If the business of the church is not about God's business, the church has no business being in business. Talk about missions. You said that's pretty strong, isn't it? Oh, yeah. But it's truthful. If God wills the evangelization of the world and you refuse to support missions, then you're directly opposed to the will of God. So the supreme task of the church is evangelization of the world. Christ alone can save the world. But Christ cannot save the world alone. Hello? And so I ask the question, are we a part of the problem or part of the solution? Coca-Cola had as their theme, think globally, but act locally. Think globally, but act locally. We start in our Jerusalem, outside their door, and it's for every creature. Amen. Local church is the incubator, Holy Spirit is the initiator, and the believer is the investor.